Welcome to the mystical world we live in with Almeen. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations of a world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here's your host, Almeen.
Today's show, and my name is Almeen, and I'm your host today, but I have no one to interview me today, as we sometimes have, and so it's just the listeners and myself. So we'll spend this hour together, and we will explore some of the interesting topics that have been coming up in my life, and from your questions. So one of the topics that I wish to start with is something that I touched briefly on during one of the past recordings that we did here in the last few weeks, but I didn't get to go into it fully, and it absolutely is worth exploring. It is such an exciting event. For a very long time, the Hopis and the Navajo and perhaps other tribes are the only ones that I'm familiar with that have been doing very many sacred ceremonies for the Kachinas. The Kachina tribes, they have described as being once upon the earth and now living in the sky, living, in other words, in other planetary systems. They have used them as allies during the many thousands of years of their traditions, and they have celebrated them in dance and in their crafts. And the Kachina tribes was something that I paid very little attention to. I was aware that they had that, but I presumed that they may be archetypal spirits. You know, even if you look at a tree spirit, I had one actually appear in my hotel room the other day, and they are that extraordinary looking, because if you look at the Kachina dolls, for instance, that those native tribes produce, they're like nothing we've seen. They don't match our fairy world. They don't match our divas or our dragons or, you know, our unicorns or the spirits. They just are terribly different looking. I mean, not in a bad way, but just in a way that we could not imagine. So I've paid very little attention to it. I assumed that they were these archetypal spirits. A tree spirit is like nothing we've ever seen. They look very, very different. Something like the fire spirit or the wind spirit. Also, they look quite different. So I was incorrect, but I hadn't paid any attention to it, and then I was sent to gather the masters in Toronto by the Holy Mother of All Life for an event that we loosely call classes. But it's a week in which those that know in their heart they must be there, whether they are new or some of the masters that have been with me before, just simply know that that's a part of my life that they need to participate in. So the return of the bird tribes and the other Kachina tribes, let's take a look at what they are and where they've been and why they are returning. So first and foremost, the Kachina tribes I became aware that there was something going on in the Pleiadian and the Arcturian star system that was about to change. And it happened because of communications from very large serpents. We don't have many of them on Earth. There are only about, I would venture to guess, somewhere between 12 and 16. They're called the Ashanta. And the A-S-S-H-A-N-T-A. When we encountered them is when we opened the sacred libraries of the Serpent Mound, the huge geoglyph that's a mound in Ohio in the United States. When we opened that, all of a sudden, the masters in my class started receiving transmissions from the Ashanta in the Serpent Mound. And so the Sacred Order of the Serpent Mound's oracles started sending me these transmissions, and pretty soon they started to thank me They said the work that the masters are doing and yourself are starting to light up our home planet. And then, you know, we started to enter into communication with the Ashanta. And by the way, they're not hostile serpents. What the first job they did when the serpent mound opened is that they went around the earth to eliminate hostile, leftover serpents from ages of illusion. And after that, they started to consume density. And they started to eat up areas where there was dense space and so on. So they did us a tremendous service and are still in the process. The Ashanta serpents, home planet, apparently, according to them, has been completely dark. And it has no access to sunlight. It's on the peripheral edges of the Pleiadian system. Now, why it has no sunlight, I don't know. But suddenly, as we were doing the work on behalf of the cosmos, and as light workers everywhere were doing their own personal work, moving everything up into higher realms, it started to light up. The lighting up of the Pleiadian planet actually comes from inside the planet. It doesn't need a solar source if it is lit from within. And when one is in the etheric realms, my beloved brothers and sisters, if you sometimes remember some very strange dreams that you have that have a unique quality to them, what they are, in fact, is journeys into the etheric realms, the more subtle realms. And in those realms, there is no darkness because things are lit from within. So this is how the planet was being lit. And slowly but surely, the lights had not gone on all the way. And then I asked Mother why the planet had lain in darkness for such a long time. And the only answer I got from Mother is it kept hidden what I meant to keep hidden. And what she, of course, meant is that it was from the eyes of the then perpetrator, dark gods and goddesses, and the demons within the cosmos. Those have been done away with. Firstly, we have not had demons. For a while in the underworld, some of them made it to the middle world, and then those eventually lost their right to live about 2 weeks ago. So the Ashanta serpent's planet had obviously things that Mother wanted to hide. The Ashanta serpents are extremely powerful, judging by the ones here on Earth. But, you know, I asked Mother if there's anything further I needed to do, and she said, no, it will light up automatically as innocence is restored. I then asked her if there was any other planet that likewise lay in darkness that had a population on it. Mother said, yes, that there is one in the Arcturus star system. And she said that there was more that we would later learn about. So, I just focused on each day doing the work in front of me that Mother gave. But when I went to Toronto to the Masters, the first day into it, out of my mouth, the words came, this is the week of the return of the Kachina tribes, of our bird tribes, and multiple other tribes that are coming back to Earth because this is where they belong. Now, my brothers and sisters, let me digress a little bit further to tell you of an experience we had. I believe it was in the end of January of 2008. I had a class here in my home in Oregon, and the class in Oregon had a very unique experience happen. My classes are starting to speak in languages and be able to communicate with beings. They're able to see the beings. And some of the, you know, many of the students are brand new when they walk in. But the miracles are profound and escalating in these gatherings. And so, you know, we had a brand new student start start to speak languages. She was very scared at first because these very powerful, strange languages were coming through her mouth. I told her just to go with it. They were valid languages. In fact, I spoke it back to her so she could see that I can speak the same languages. And I told her that sometimes when you speak new languages, it's just that the sort of wind element within goes out of balance. You shake a lot and so on. But it's just spirit moving through. So the next thing that happened is that one of the other sisters started to see the beings that was speaking through the other one. And then I started to receive their messages. We had groups coming in. The line was so long that, I mean, it would have taken us months to relay their messages to Mother. They were all trying to speak directly to Mother with supplications of one sort or another of something that they wished to change to make their life more life-enhancing. One of the groups of beings, again, was like nothing we'd ever seen because they were part of these Kachinas, although at the time we didn't know it, were flower-like beings. And they could put their roots into the ground, or they could pull them out, and then they could move through the air. They were in a beautiful one-heart space, and they would, when in joy, they would rise up and down off the ground and emit the most beautiful fragrances. And so these beautiful flower tribes came to us in the class and asked that the lights be turned on their planet. These were some of the Kachinas in the Pleiadian planet of the Ashanta serpents where the lights had partially gone on due to the fact that at that time in January, we asked the mother if she would do that and she said yes. So it partially went on. These tribes returned to us in Toronto during that week. So during the first few days, Mother says, they will be coming in on Wednesday. We start our class on Monday. They'll be coming in on Wednesday, and they'll be coming in on Thursday on your, meaning our, very incorrect calendar. She said, make sure, we had about 33, 32 people there, make sure that they bring their cameras. And tomorrow, which was Tuesday, I want you to get them to speak languages because they're going to be able to speak to these tribes as they come back. Well, of 32, roughly 20 of them were brand new students. But we did get, at least by the end of that week, everyone able to speak languages. Some had more difficulty than others because the languages they were destined to speak were so unusual. But every single one spoke languages. So the first ones that came in were from Arcturus. And we had beautiful flower tribes, one after the other, in these beautiful Kachinas come in. And the Kachinas that came in spoke to us about what it is that they had been hiding for Mother. They said that they had been hiding Mother's gems for her crown, and that those gems contained codes of creation for higher life. And they said that I asked them, because we were able to communicate back and forth and my class was able to understand so much of it, they said that the reason that they were hidden is because they hid the codes. But the reason that they were coming forth is because we had come to a time of innocence. I have on previous radio shows spoken about the fact that there was a healing done of the duality. There also was a healing done of polarity. The movement back and forth or movement of information is what polarity did, and that created linear time. And linear time pulls you out of the moment, and it's only in the moment where true purity and innocence is found. And so every time we were pulled out of that place of eternal time, that is when we started to have some perpetrators. It was only after Mother healed duality and polarity that these tribes were able to return to Earth, bringing with them some of Mother's gems. I'll tell you a little more about this right after these commercials.
Almeen continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
Welcome back to the second part of our show, and I wish to tell you a little more about the Kachinas and that which they are restoring to our earth. These beautiful flower beings, my beloved ones, are here to create new species. Species that thrive in a world where purity is. We are back in the age of purity because of this restoration of duality, and duality means that which was separated, which is now put together. So, when does this healing of duality really have an end? I'm sure that there is an end, but I will tell you that even today, there were 10 things at about 5, 6 a.m. this morning, Pacific Standard Time, that the Mother of All Life placed in the Book of Life, which determines the laws of reality. You can read about the Book of Life in Revelation, in the New Testament, for instance, that this new pristineness is still being honed and still being refined. 10 things were placed in the Book of Life this morning, and we will take a look what they are. But let me just tell you about the Kachinas. There was a group of 12 little beings that were guarded by a giant. The wonderful, wonderful thing of it is that we were able to take literally, well, 1,000 interdimensional photos, but we were able to capture hundreds of photos where there are interdimensional photography that was being done. We were able to catch these little Kachinas on film, and some of them had for weeks prior to this event been giving the oracles of the various mystical orders all over the world that I work with. They'd been giving them their drawings, what they look like, and in some instances, their writing. And so their writing and their beautiful little images, some of them we were able to match with the photographs taken weeks later during this event of their return. And so, as they came into the room, we were able to film the giant. He told us that he was the guardian of 12 of these little beings, and that they, in turn, guarded Mother's jewels. The masters in my class, and one can see it in the photographs, where I'm the only one that remains solid and everybody else becomes see-through, because I start to shift their assemblage point and push them upwards from one level to the next, from one overtone to the next dimensionally. As we push them up one overtone, they become, everybody's films was filming a red environment. But we couldn't capture Mother's beautiful gems at that level. So I pushed them up yet again, and at that point it starts to get a golden orange glow, and the masters are totally see-through. And at that point, we were able to capture, even though everything else was very blurry, we were then able to capture the four gems that was returned during that week that belonged to Mother's Crown. So we were able to photograph it. Please watch our website. We will announce it there on our regular website of www.spiritualjourneysneys.com. And at that time, we will be putting up some in a couple of weeks from now, maybe even by the time the show airs, we will have up what's called an Aruba Sirina website. Aruba is Arubafirina. Aruba Sirina website. Our Aruba Sirina, the word is, of course, the title of one of my books. That book also has interdimensional photography in it. And it shows Mother's Crown. Now, when you take photography like that, interdimensionally, it is in real time. In the Aruba Sirina book, if you have it and you look at Mother's Crown very carefully, if you bought that book a year ago, the crown would have been quite fuzzy. Now it is becoming very, very well defined. So if you take a look at that, you will find that if you look again in 6 months, it will have additional gems. That's because these gems have come back for Mother's Crown. So it will change in the book itself. We had some of those photographs change between the time we sent them to the printer till the time the book was printed, because some of those beings were erased because they turned out to be treacherous gods that we were filming, and they're erased on my films, in the book pages. So they're kind of just blurry. So, my brothers and sisters, we're establishing a website under the same name. And amongst some of the exciting things that we will have on there are pictures of these kachinas. And then the other thing that will be on there is, in fact, music from the spheres that was captured by Voyager when it moved into deep space. And it's totally unenhanced, beautiful music as the planets sing to one another. And I happen to have had a student, he's passed unfortunately, but I happen to have a student that is one of the rocket scientists at NASA, and he gave me this recording. And then the other thing that we have is a BBC recording of a crop circle being made. And this wonderful little ball of light was moving above the grain, making this exquisite design with a sound. And the sounds are recorded, and you can hear the shoo noise as the wheat folds, the swishing noise. And so that will also be on our website, and then I will also have some of our languages on there, the languages of the fairies and the unicorns and mother and father. And so you can learn how to say it and pronounce it properly. When you have my books, you don't just have to read it in the book. Some of these kachinas will go on there and others. We show mother and father's influence come in as I was busy ordaining some of my students into these holy orders. So what we're able to capture, just a magnificent photograph of that. So just to continue then, so we had first the flower tribes come in. And then we had the bird tribes come in. And the bird tribes, they were extraordinary. Some were small, but some were 7-8-foot-like bird beings. And the kachinas, as portrayed by the native tribes, are often larger than humans. Well, these were very much larger than humans, and it sounded like the Tower of Babel, because my class started immediately to talk the bird languages. And so they were very actively speaking the bird languages. They could see the birds. They were able to communicate back and forth. I translated some of the bird languages coming in, and they spoke to us of their tribes there, as well as the tribes that were on the Pleiadian planet. And We have some photographs of some of the smaller birds. We have big pieces of the larger ones, but you know they don't necessarily make that much sense unless you took a bigger framed photograph. So let's take a little look at some of the other things that happened. We had insect-like beings come in, and they were ant beings, various very large beings. Some were able to see them directly with their physical eyes. Some saw them in their mind. Again, very strange languages came in. They did a lot of clicking languages. And then we had a group of whales come in. And they didn't come into the room. They just spoke to us. And they said that they are from the ring of Sirius. So we were very interested to know about this ring of Sirius. And then I remembered, years ago I used to do, I do a blessing on every single person that comes to my class. But years ago, I remember blessing a very large class with several hundred people in it and standing to the wee hours of the morning and doing this. And I remember that one of them was told that their actual higher aspect dwelt on the ring of Sirius, and that the ring of Sirius was dark. It wasn't lit up, and so very few people knew about it. But, you know, it has a pull of gravity, just like these stars, that these planets in Arcturus and Pleiades that were dark, one in each system. And this ring in Sirius is a ring that exploded, because I asked Mother about it after he had spoken to us. And I will tell you in a minute the story he told, because it was so beautiful and such beautiful purity of heart that they exhibited. The seven whale tribes that were coming back from the ring of Sirius, and some of them were also actually coming back to the Earth from the planet Neptune. Because at higher dimensions, Neptune is has a lot of water. It's a watery planet. So, my brothers and sisters, the mother said that the ring in Sirius happened as follows. She said that it used to be a planet and that 2,000 years ago it exploded. And those that were immortal, like some of these whales, were able to survive. The ring has become habitable, and that's where some of these whale tribes, and I don't know if there were Kachinas coming in from there, because we did not experience them, but that it exploded and there was a ring that's a habitat. So she said that happened 2,000 years ago. When I asked her how it exploded, something started to fit in place, and it's a story that I wrote about a couple of years ago when I wrote the book. I think it was in 2005 that I wrote the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, and it was published in 2006. So, in 2005, as I wrote in the ring in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, as we moved up in planetary ascension, as humanity moved up into layers above where they used to live, we encountered 16 Sirian demons. I have never encountered such unbelievable malevolence and coupled with power as they had. We were under total siege. They captured all six of my spirits that I was working with at the time, then held them hostage. They captured one of the masters that I was working with at the time and held her hostage and her little children as well. And so we were in a situation that was very grim. And when I finally was able to communicate with them, she managed to get a fax through to me of letters that was being passed in front of her face as she was tied to a chair with unseen bonds. The letters passing in front of her, she was finally able to write down and fax through to me. Once I had it, because Mother has given me the gift of languages, once I hear even a few words, I can speak that language. So I was able to speak their language. Then finally I was able to communicate with them. To make the details of what transpired is in Secrets of the Hidden Realms, but they told me, amongst other things, that they came from Sirius, from a planet that exploded 2,000 years before what we regard as the B.C., the crucifixion of Christ or the birth of Christ. So about 2,000 years before that, so about 4,000 years ago, their planet exploded. So they said that they were scattered all over the cosmos. Now, demons do not exist anymore because illusions, reality has been removed. We've spoken about this multiple times. But Mother said that the reason the planet exploded is she said that it was a very chaotic planet and that the Sirius star system is the opposite pole of the Earth. She says that's one reason why the Sirian star system can never come close to the Earth. And in the book, Opening the Doors of Heaven, I translated some of the plates from the Isis libraries, and it speaks there about the Jean Galabruc clock, and it speaks about the calling in. They're the lion people, the cat people, and it speaks about the calling in of planets to come closer to the Earth. But it says Sirius may never come close to the Earth, because at that time, polarity required a distance between the poles. That has been changed in 2008. But if you took two poles that were pulsing one another and you put them together, that organism died, so something died, because there was no ability to pulse, which is necessary for life. So the Sirian planet was pulsing with the Earth. They became overpolarized into masculine separation consciousness. That, in turn, threw the Earth into an overpolarized, passive, feminine polarity. Mother wanted to bring balance to this, so she sent the whales to this planet to repair the frequencies. And how that happened, how they did it, is a beautiful story I will share with you next. But what I want to share with you right now, though, is that the dark gods of the cosmos, realizing that if they bring havoc to Sirius, it would grossly affect the Earth, and the Earth was the pivot point of all ascension, of all growth, because it's the densest level of life. And it's from the low levels of life that life is lifted up. So what they did is Mother had taken demonic ones and created an underworld, placed them in the underworld, and had them embody the planetary chaos. This was a way to create order yet again. But the dark gods came and let those demons out from the underworld. Some of those are the ones that I encountered. And the planet could not stand the stress. It self-destructed. And that planet exploded, and then 16 of those demons ended up here. And they found a level that they thought was devoid of life, that was empty, a frequency level, a dimension. And then, of course, we ascended, and here we all come pouring into their, quote, realm. But they had no right to be here. So anyway, they are no more. And when we get back from this commercial break, I will tell you the beautiful way in which the whales try to balance the frequencies and restore once again, inclusiveness to the Sirian planet.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. A Life of Miracles is a deeply inspiring and motivational book in its content. It is unique in its field in making man's relationship as the microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. It's a detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life that provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience, that of ascension. If you're ready to ascend to a higher consciousness, begin each day with A Life of Miracles or any other books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or her magazine by contacting Al Mean at www.spiritualjourneys.com.
So, just before we go into how these whales attempted to restore the frequencies on the Sirian planet, I remember receiving in a vision years ago that there had been five planets created that had the freedom of individual choice. Multiple planets have freedom of choice, but it's more collective. And there were five planets with individual freedom of choice, of which the Earth was one, and that one of them was in Sirius, but was destroyed. This is the one that had the individual freedom of choice in Sirius, because that requires a lot of separatism. Other planets were in one mind, or one, like Andromedan planets, one heart, like the Pleiadian planets, and now many planets have one mind, one heart, which is called divine sovereignty. But in Sirius, that planet had individual freedom of choice. And when that happens, it's far greater chance of getting corrupted. The whales said that what they did is, whales, they say, mate for life. And they said that their planet, what they did is that they would mate, and the love of their heart would be so great for their mate, but then they would live on opposite sides of the Earth and of the planet, and of that particular planet in Sirius, for instance. They'd live on opposite sides of the planet, and longing would carry their songs around that planet to the other side, to their partners. So they would put as much distance as they could between them and sing these songs of love and longing to one another. And they said that it was propelled by the longing. If they lived with their partners, then there would be no longing. There would be fulfillment. But there wouldn't be the carrier wave that they were trying to create. If you sit on a chair, my brothers and sisters, and you have somebody sitting opposite you, if one of you is speaking about your dreams and the other one is truly listening with your heart, what happens is a standing waveform occurs between the two chairs. A third entity forms, and it consists of the emotions and the attitudes of assimilation and communication and desire and dreams and visions. All of it forms this third entity, and it's halfway between you and the person on the other chair. It's called a standing waveform. And then, as you feed it every day with your envisioning and your desire, it starts to actualize. It starts to produce results. And this is what the whales were doing when they were on opposite sides of the planet, singing to one another of their longing and of their love. They were creating stability at the core. And it was such a beautiful sacrifice. They say that new whale tribes will be arriving on Earth. There's a total of seven. I don't know how many of them came in from there. Some of them are small, not much bigger than a large dolphin. But you know, will we see them? I would imagine that we would, unless they are staying deliberately out of sight. Perhaps they're staying a little bit up in frequency. If you have a frequency that varies the way one note would vary from another note right next to it on the piano, it will make you invisible to most. So that is actually what they are doing. There's another place where cajinas have been hidden. Extraordinary. And that is in the libraries. We started to receive communications to the oracles as the sacred libraries of the earth were opening, and I personally encountered them in the libraries in which Mother sent me into. Some of them resembled hooded figures. Like, for instance, if you take the sacred library in Japan under Mount Fuji, I think that it is the Dragonfly Library. I'm not sure. But if you take that, there's a group of guardians in there. They call themselves the White Ones. And I never saw an actual humanoid face on them. But there was a hood, and it went right down to the ground. In fact, it shrouded the face, but what I saw was just folds of light, if you will, inside it. So I don't know what they really look like or if that's what they look like. But I've seen little kachinas varying from 5 inches to very large ones. We have one that was given to the oracles, and it was actually the oracle Aoife up in, she's from Poland, and she lives right now amongst the Toronto Masters. She's the oracle for the Order of the Serpent, which is the Kundalini magic that is done. And she received a 5-inch little figure in her room one night that said, please draw me, and here's my language. So she drew the language, she drew the little figure, and she sent it to me, and this little being came out of one of the libraries. Then, when I was in Ireland, one of the oracles in Ireland was told by one of the Ashanta serpents to go to a specific location and to pick up a stone that she needed to bring to me. So she did that, and she rather foolishly said, you know, I don't know what this is about, but here's the stone. And I unwrapped it, and oh my goodness, my brothers and sisters, the stone, 5 inches tall, the exact height of the drawing that was done according to size, the exact height of the drawing, there was a perfect fossil of a little kachina, which is the same kachina that came out of one of the libraries and gave us his image to draw. It matches exactly. You can place the stone on top of the drawing, and the fossil in it would be exactly the same size. The lines go the same way. The little face is the same way. It has little wings. The wings, apparently, we just see dark stains on the stone instead of an actual fossil. So they must not have had, you know, more solid material in it, whatever that may mean. But we have the stone with the fossilized kachina in it. And these kachinas have come out of the library. So why don't we take just a few minute commercial break, and we'll be back in a few minutes.
In this, the fourth book, The Ring of Truth, which chronicles Almaine's journey, she tells of the promise and the potential inherent in the resurgence of the feminine principle, increasingly felt in all aspects of current human experience. The operation of new laws governing the cosmos are explained together with the reasons for their creation. We are introduced to Mother, the primal creative energy that pervades every aspect of existence. We learn of her love and her laws and how to incorporate them into every thought and act. We are given samples of her divine language, its meaning, and its power. Mother's great gift to humanity, the healing power of Belvaspada, is revealed. This new approach to dissolving disease of mind, spirit, and body replaces previously existing methodologies. Application of its techniques removes old barriers of physically oriented existence and opens a broad pathway to a life of joy and fulfillment. Discover Mother and the Ring of Truth, as well as all of Almeen's books, CDs, lectures, workshops, or magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers a question: do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
I would like to explain a little further about how this age of innocence is being restored. These realms that we're speaking of, the return of these tribes, the bird tribes, there also were, I think, around 6 to 9 very large mushroom beings. They're the archetypal spirits of the mushrooms. Interestingly enough, also some of our archetypal spirits were there. And my brothers and sisters, I understood that archetypal spirits lived at a specific overtone on Earth in these dimensions. But I very seldom encountered them. Well, that's because they had moved off planet. And they did that so they could not be tampered with. So we had some archetypal spirits, the spirit of the fire, the water, the wind. We had the grass spirit come back and communicate with several of the masters worldwide. And we had also the tree archetypes come back. In addition to this, a great refinement process has been taking place to further make this age of innocence refined. And I have about 10 minutes and I just wanted to go through that with you because some of this was done this morning. This morning, Mother did the following. She said that the body meridians would no longer be separate. They would be a field. That means that we don't have ley lines on Earth anymore, nor do we have cosmic ley lines, because they were simply a reflection of the infinite Mother's meridians. So that was healed. Then Mother said that they will not, this was profound, and it just happened hours ago, so I really don't even know the ramifications of this. But she said that the minds would no longer work separately. Well, I don't even know what to say about this one, because I have now for years been teaching people about God mind, about about surface mind, about slightly expanded mind, and how you can how you can go from one to the other. So I would have to ask Mother how it now works. So actually, excuse me, she's starting to answer me. So why don't I quickly repeat this for you and I will translate it. Inach vasta bi'ishte mihkuyeki nema ashta. Miskuchu unich pahyehde ashtaye vasa eshmehkiyaka unuch. Bihikiyava unushite mishpiokuhini iya ata nehviahuhinesh. Mother says, all minds, God mind and surface mind, will function as one mind. She says that the very value that duality had was that we can understand the components even when they become the whole. She says that, excuse me, just a second, ishtu ushi hachnama ukiye, titi ayash, sisu shitaya manash, eskuhihya vahkuhihne ichapa tu ufuhi ine eche, spikuhineshve, svachvata unashvavi. Mother is saying that it's not that everybody will be in their God mind all the time. But you don't have to let one mind go to move into the other. God mind can be functioning, and at times these minds will be pulsing. Mother is saying something, excuse me. Bishtio kuhi hachba spevichikia nastava ich kuhi ki nash esverva ki uta anish. She said that there will be no middle mind. She said there is an expansion that knows that you are all things, and then there is the focusing on the details. And she said, this is how life will pulse. At times you look at the big picture like the eagle that flies high in the sky, and other times you're down with the hens pecking at kernels of corn on the ground. It's a dominance. It's no longer a linear movement. So in other words, sometimes the one perspective is dominant, then the other more detailed oriented perspective becomes dominant. But she says it is only one mind. So I'm going to ask Mother now what we should call it. Ispata ichne veshte. She says call it cosmic mind. So we all are going to be utilizing cosmic mind, a conglomerate of all minds that we had. That was something that was fixed this morning. Then a very large thing that was fixed this morning, all of this adding to purity and enhancement of these realms of innocence that are returning to Earth. And by the way, that's a new book that is almost complete from these experiences with color photos that shall be out, and it's called The Realms of Innocence. So, my brothers and sisters, the other thing that occurred this morning is that when Mother originally made life, she created a screen, and in the screen she created the Father. Jointly, they created another television screen inside that television screen in which creation took place. For a screen to be created, a certain matrix needs to be formed. Now, fascinatingly enough, we have been speaking about matrices in some of our previous shows. I know we did it at least 4 or 5 shows before this one. How is that formed? Well, it's formed by putting blinders on the side of your vision, the way one does for horses if you don't want them to get sidetracked. There's blinders on the side of their eyes, so all they can see is in front of them, so they don't get spooked by things on the side. You put blinders on the side, and your vision shrinks, making a screen, if you are the Eternal Mother. So, the One Infinite Being. So, the Infinite Being created a narrowing of vision, and yet a more narrowing of vision. The problem is, it was never uncreated until today. So the Infinite Mother put in the Book of Life this morning that vast, that from the very beginning through all these ages of time, as life evolves, the screen has to widen. So the blinders come off in layers as life is going higher and higher. The ability to interpret it has to be matched, so the same changes have to occur in the pineal gland, that marvelous interpretive center of the body. And then she also removed filters from hearing. Now, what that means to us, my beloved light family, is that from this point on, hearing and seeing interdimensionally should come a great deal easier. It should be so much easier. Then, something else was done that is amazing to me. And again, I'm speaking about something that happened a matter of hours ago. And so, I don't quite know what to make of it yet. We think of Mother as being made of love and light. But that's not true. true. Love and light is one of the building blocks of existence. The infinite isn't made of those building blocks. The infinite makes those building blocks. We have spoken about essence in some of our previous programs here very recently. How essence is behind the fields which are behind the quantum physics particles which are the building blocks of life. The most refined essence, there's essence, but there are gradations of refinement. The most refined essence is Mother's presence, if you will, that is throughout the entire cosmos, even when she is a physical body. Well, the physical body is still not the essence. It produces the essence. And so there has been a leakage into Mother of things such as frequency, love, light, things like that. Even her own essence is a product. It's not that from which life originated. We're back to the place where life has always originated from the physical. And that understanding had Mother clean out of her body anything that she produces. And as she produces it, it is shielded as it leaves her heart, as it moves through her body. It's shielded so it cannot pollute her body. Interestingly enough, love would pollute Mother's body. That's something she produces. So such refinement of purity is currently still going on. My brothers and sisters, we've come to the end of our program, and lots of love to you, and we'll talk again next week.
After 3 months of intense physical preparation in January 2004, Almin experienced a transfiguration, entering the presence of the infinite for the second time since moving into God consciousness. The state of no longer identifying with the ego in 2000. In the weeks that followed, the powerful revelations contained in this book emerged from that all-encompassing silence. Having lost most of her linear thinking during this transition, much of this book had been written without conscious thought. This form of automatic writing, like automatic speaking she now does, flows freely from source into her own handwriting from which it was transcribed. Few have entered into God consciousness to leave the bliss to teach. Still fewer enter the stage of immortal master and in addition continue to function among the masses. But as a Toltec Nahual and seer, Almin's life is dedicated to leading others to complete freedom from mortal boundaries. Journey to the heart of God is an opportunity of a lifetime to see through the eyes of one who has encountered the indescribable realms of eternity. From such a perspective come insights that can heal the deepest wounds of alienation found in human hearts. Journey to the heart of God contains, no matter how profound, truth. Truth that can be recognized for what it is, and it is the truth that shall set us free. Pick up a copy of The Journey to the Heart of God and discover your personal truth and freedom through Almin's books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
We hope you've enjoyed today's show, The Mystical World We Live In, with Almin. Please join us again next week.